morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Tuning in for your breath of fresh air, right? On this wonderful Thursday, May 14th. So glad to be hanging out with you. It's 7:06 in the morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. And if you have an anniversary, yes, happy anniversary to you. Speaking of that, my brother and his wife, Jason and Angelique, they celebrated 26 years yesterday. So proud of them, and they're such a loving couple, and they live in the Branson area of Missouri, right? That's what we say, Missouri. And they celebrated yesterday, and of course, they're empty nesters and just wonderful. Not only are they my brother and sister in love, they're really good friends of ours, too. So we celebrate their anniversary. If you would like to visit with us on the studio line, I want to remind you, you can call in the show. We'd love to talk to you, answer any questions, and talk about the topics of the day. You can give us a call at 503-589-1220. And follow us along on Facebook at KSLM Radio and streaming live online at KSLM.news. We are news you can use here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with information to go along for your day. And I'm telling you, and it's been so good to connect with you and hear your feedback and find out what's important to you as I go about in the community of still kind of on the errand of essential service, of course, and connect with you. It's interesting to hear what's important to you. And many, many people still have not received their unemployment checks. So many folks are frustrated. In fact, I sat right beside someone. Here's the phone number. And it rang busy, busy, busy. And so if you're impacted by that, even today, you know, I think our governor and our local elected leaders need to hear from us. And I think we need to be contacting them every day that we don't get our unemployment checks. What do you think there? We've got to get to some solutions. And I constantly am thinking about this fact. So many times the people that aren't conservative are thinking maybe somehow we need to have equal pay and everybody needs to have redistributed wealth and all of those kinds of things, more of a socialism type of country. And I'm thinking we can't even get this thing right, unemployment, right? So those are my thoughts for today. When we look at the regional headlines brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, give Bill a call at 503-885-0789. Looking at our headlines, yes, guess what? Tomorrow, May 15th, all across Oregon, we have a green light given to reopen customers to retail. Yes, Oregon stores can open to shoppers again Friday as long as they aren't in a mall and they follow the state COVID-19 health guidelines. In a news release Wednesday, Oregon officials confirmed that all retailers statewide, including those that were mandated to close previously, will be able to open as long as they implement the new safety measures required effective May 15th. You know what I'm excited about? Yes, secondhand shopping again. Furniture stores, jewelry stores, boutiques, art galleries, which were closed March 23rd by Governor Brown's stay-at-home order. It also includes all other standalone shops, toy stores, bookstores, secondhand stores, and some of those things that weren't officially closed down, of course, will have to follow all of the guidelines. And so that is something that is good news. And tomorrow is my birthday, so I think that's a wonderful birthday gift. Also in the headlines of the news, right on the Statesman Journal, looking here, Governor Brown is being sued by businesses throughout Oregon. In fact, many businesses are upset. This lawsuit is not about money. This lawsuit is not about politics. This is about our basic rights as citizens. And so we'll be keeping an eye on that. In fact, talking about lawsuits, there are several churches throughout Oregon, too, suing the governor about the right to assemble and not be limited and not having to trace and all of those facts that need to happen. It's really about, when you look at these lawsuits, about the overuse of power and putting into question if she even has the authority to do what she is doing in regards to the stay-at-home order beyond the 30 days, or even if she could do it to begin with. And so we'll keep an eye on that. I believe as citizens, it's our right to challenge these authorities, and certainly it's important for us to, at this time with our election right around the corner, we have our primary coming up May 19th. That's next Tuesday. So if you don't have that ballot filled out yet, I encourage you to fill it out now. You're at that point where you really need to drop it off to ensure that it's going to get there in time. You need to fill it out and drop it off. And in that effort to educate you on who the candidates are out there, I'm really excited today to introduce a candidate from Clackamas County. She is going for the Clackamas County Commission. Her name is Brianna Sagdahl. I think I said that right. And she's been a part of the community for many years in Clackamas, working tirelessly to make it a better place. As an advocate for family rights, she has used her media and professional contacts to shed light on Oregon's DHS abuses, due process violations, and child trafficking. As a mother, she's fought hard for medical freedom, freedom of choice. As a farmer and horse trainer, she understands the importance of and will fight for private land ownership, water rights, grazing rights, and small business in Clackamas County. I am so excited to have you on the air, Brianna. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me on, Stacey. And hey, happy early birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm reading your bio here and I'm thinking, oh, this is a friend, a sister from another mother. You've got horses in there. You're standing up for human rights and children, and so excited to get to know you. Tell me a little bit about your passion and your schooling and what have you been up to that brought you to the point of wanting to run for commission in Clackamas County.
Thank you so much. It's definitely been a long and sort of journey, and I was happily training. I had 22 horses I was working with another trainer, and happily training horses and in my own happy little world, and God just interrupted all of it and really opened my eyes. And I had a friend who is part of the medical freedom movement, whose son was taken by the state. He's a 15-year-old boy who has autism, and he ended up with an upset tummy. She took him to a hospital, and anyways, a very, very long story short, she ended up losing him in a medical kidnapping case. That's where DHS comes in and works with the hospital to give the parents an ex parte order, meaning the parent is not allowed to be in court, and they trespassed her off of the hospital premises. Mm. So outside of law, outside of the court, she was trespassed initially by the hospital's security team, and then not allowed to come back in. And she has not seen her son since, and that was 18 months ago.
Wow.
But it was stories like this that got me involved, and I just could not sit back and do nothing after watching too many of these stories happen. And I had started receiving phone calls from frantic mothers and fathers, and I ended up receiving one too many phone calls at 2 or 3 in the morning, where either family had their door kicked in, kids taken, or I watched, children being taken from the hospital because they wanted a second opinion from medical providers. And my eyes were open, my heart broke, and God really called me into getting involved and using all the resources and connections that I could muster. And that was really, that was the beginning of a very long journey.
Yes, and what an amazing opportunity to advocate. When you are an advocate for somebody else and their issues, it's a humbling experience, and it gives you an opportunity to really see where the system's at and where the big holes, the gaping holes are, and how you're kind of, it sounds like we're similar. We want to see where we can fix it, right, and build bridges and make it better for everybody. Tell me a little bit about what you do for work and your schooling and your background that would lead you and add to the value of the commission. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Thank you. I ended up going to school. I have an equivalent degree for behavioral psychology with an emphasis on early childhood development. And I studied medicine. So from as early as I could remember, I wanted to practice medicine, and worked at the VA hospital, and I, interned in various doctor's offices. And when I actually got into the medical world, realized that was a vastly different view and more politicized than just hands-on helping and helping heal. So, there was a disconnect there, and I didn't end up pursuing medicine. I, however, have that background, and I think honestly, the most education comes from what I've learned from horses, and also being a mom and a wife, and having humbling experiences throughout my life, and really, I think that speaks more to what I can accomplish and what I have accomplished in government, because I don't necessarily feel that you have to have a ton of degrees to be able to work with other people. And I honestly, I think what it takes is humility and putting ego aside to work together for the common good and to be able to listen. And I think that's so much more important than having, master after master's degree. I do have a lot of education, but
yes,
I think that's definitely been my more valuable background.
And you're spot on with also, that. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
Yeah. Also, working in Salem, so I've been a citizen lobbyist, which means that I just I wasn't paid, but I have lobbied on various bills. I worked through the Oregon Citizens Lobby and TrackTheVote.com with Representative Mike Nierman, retired Honorable Representative Jeff Cross, and individuals in the war room to analyze many, many bills coming out of the last few sessions. And so I have a very unique perspective as well, because I've actually read every piece of policy that has been drafted or has gone to the floor in the last few sessions. And so I know exactly the policy that has been passed, and that's affecting our state and giving guidance to the counties. So I think that helps really give me a more in-depth view and understanding of what's being passed down and what we can potentially change going forward in our county, and how we can lobby for better access, equity, and help for individuals in our county.
That's exactly right. You have been through Citizens Boot Camp at the Capitol in Salem, per se. Yes, and great way to know how to look for those issues that are impacting lives day in and day out. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll continue the conversation after this break.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good
Good morning, Salem, Silverton, Turner, Clackamas County, wherever you're at today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 7:22 in the morning and showers likely today. Temperature in the 60s. Looks like we'll have some sunshine tomorrow peeking through the clouds. Looking forward to that, and wanted to give a heads up on several forums for Oregon all across the state, kind of getting a sense of what's going on and where the citizen citizens are at with this reopening Oregon and looking at each county, looking at each city. Certainly counties unaffected by COVID-19 and have had to be shut down, so certainly affected economically. And it sounds like Seaside, some of the coastal regions are deciding, the community of Seaside opened up. They're going to open up on Monday morning, the beaches. It sounds like there's a group of citizens going to be there on Saturday on the beach at about noon. That sounds like a fun little journey over to the coast. And then on Sunday here in Salem on the Capitol steps, we're going to have church. Yep, we're going to have a community worship. Oregonians all across the state coming together at 10 a.m. right on the steps of the Oregon Capitol, and we look forward to meeting you there. So those are things to put on your calendar, things to look forward to, and I'm excited to connect with people. And one of the forums that I was on online, I had an opportunity to run into Brianna, and she too is an advocate for families and children, and it says here, she has a beautiful website, VoteSagdahl.com, and on her website, she says she knows the value of being connected to unite in a common goal. As a grassroots leader, she's helped bring thousands of Oregonians together to redress grievances in Salem, and she will bring the same dedication and voice to the Clackamas County Commission. She's running for you, but cannot do it alone. Please help her to help you. And looking at her background here, you know, she's been a board member of Unified Liberty Coalition, affiliate of Oregon Liberty Coalition, lead policy analyst, media relations director. She's got lots of experience. She can be a great voice for you. And moreover, she is a wife and a mom, connected in the community, and so pleased to have you on the air here with us. Thank you for calling in today and being a part of the show this morning. Tell me how you get motivated. What gives you strength to keep going, when, especially during COVID-19, when everything has been so upended? Talk to me a little bit about that.
That's a really great question. And again, I would contribute that to my family, looking at my babies. Their future, my family, the people that I love and that I care about, and the future prosperity of everybody in, you know, the area that's, well, Clackamas County, the entire state and country for that matter. But I want to try and affect change as quickly and effectively as possible. And so I think the fastest way to affect change is, you know, on the local level,
right?
Either your city council or your county commissions. And you can be such a positive force for change in local government. And so that's why I've decided to run for, you know, a more local government office, and you know, just waking up and seeing my babies, that's what gets me going, that's what fuels my fight, and wanting to make sure that they have a future.
And that's exactly, when we think about stepping up and sacrificing our time, talent, and treasure in these very public platforms, it is about the future and the vision for our children and our grandchildren. And it's important to have folks like you who have lived in the community. You know what the citizens are facing. You've advocated for citizens. That makes, in my mind, makes you qualified. You've been through the boot camp of life enough to be able to be in the trenches with people and move things forward. Talk to me a little bit about some of the issues in Clackamas County and what citizens are facing there. I'm sure it's not unlike Marion County or some of the other counties here in Oregon. Talk to me a little bit about what you're hearing and what you'd like to see done and accomplished.
Thank you. So in Clackamas County, we're facing a budget deficit. We have record revenues. In the 2017-2018 budget, excuse me, our county commissioners overextended, investing in TPET policies that residents and taxpayers didn't necessarily agree on. And in fact, many of them, the county taxpayers voted down, one of them eight times. And the county commissioners, like we're seeing in Salem, overruled the individuals of the county and pushed through policy regardless. And people are furious. So we are constantly having our taxes raised, and we are not getting what we have been promised. For example, our transportation and infrastructure is literally crumbling. We have some of the biggest you can lose a car in a pothole in Clackamas County. It is very, I'll just say, it is in desperate need of repair. And we keep ending up with new fees, the vehicle registration fee. We just got hit with the driver's license fee. So it's redundant. It's literally a redundant fee from the state and the county. It doubles in the gas tax. And, you know, unfortunately, the money that is being taken out for transportation is not necessarily going back into transportation. So we're forking over cash with the express understanding that our roads are going to be fixed, that we're going to have the 205 bridge fixed and expanded, and that money is not going back in there. That money is going to pet projects and to TriMets, expanding the light rail line and bike lanes and pedestrian bridges. And quite frankly, it's not only not what we have agreed on, but it is the exact opposite of what we need in our county right now. So we're facing many policy level issues that need to be addressed and nipped in the bud as soon as humanly possible. And then on top of that, we're being taxed at such an incredible rate. And to add to that, the COVID situation, businesses can't even open up. So we've got the cat tax, and we've got, we are overburdened right now, and we're not even able to completely open up.
Great, great discussion about the things that you'd like to address at the commission level, Brianna. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Thursday. It's 7:35 in the morning, and a couple important dates. This Sunday, on the Capitol steps right here in Salem, we're going to hold a Christian church service. Yes, indeed, it's going to be a great time, and exercising our rights as citizens to peacefully assemble and worship God. Hope to see you there. Also, voting May 19th. Yes, we're in a primary, and this is so important, friends, because many of our city councils, this is the vote that counts. There's no general election. This is it. And so it's important that we get out to vote for our local elections. Commissions will be picking in many areas. My understanding, the commission, you pick who you're going to go for the general election. And then, of course, all the other races. There's some very close calls in primaries on the Republican side of the ticket and on the Democrat side of the ticket. It's very important that we show up. And it's a privilege and a duty to be able to do so. And so today, May 14th, they're saying that if you put your ballot in the mail, it should get there by May 19th. I am saying fill out your ballot today. Certainly fill it out and hand deliver it. Get it to your county place, the designated areas, right in your voter's guide. It says where the drop-off sites are, and get them delivered, get them in and be counted. I think that's extremely important. It's an honor, duty, and a privilege to participate in voting. And with that, we have candidate Brianna Sagdahl from Clackamas County. She is going for commission, and right before the break, talking about all of the things that she sees and kind of the gaps in services and the somewhat dysfunction going on in the county. And Brianna, I know you have solutions. You have things that you want to address. You bring things to the table to address these head on. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Absolutely. So I'm a solution-based and solution-oriented individual, and I think that there are so many things that we can do to address many issues on the policy side. And, you know, we, in our county, in Clackamas County, we're part of Metro. And so what we just recently found out is that we are not going to be able to just open individually. We are going to have to wait for Multnomah County and Washington County. And neither Clackamas County or Washington County have turned in their applications for reopening. And so we're consistently, continuously kicking the goalposts down the field and preventing the reopening of essential services, our government, and many businesses, as a matter of fact. And I would love to really dive into everything that has happened and all the failures, but I would like to instead focus on solutions. And one of the resounding pieces of feedback that I have heard from so many government agencies during this time of COVID is the number one barrier to helping individuals has been red tape, bureaucratic red tape. And even I was listening to a Washington County Zoom meeting with their DA and DHS office and an individual from CARES Northwest. And they were saying that their numbers are at a record low and they've been able to help families in a way that they have never been able to before because they've been able to really skirt a lot of the regulations and a lot of the red tape that gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to address that really quickly. As we are moving through COVID-19, I think that there are some really easy things that we could implement right now to help clear up the backlog in our justice system, for example, to get essential care to individuals, to help in our education system. You know, one thing that we could do is we could enact the Alternative Dispute Resolution Act within our courts. So many trials have been put off, and, you know, when the courts open back up, we're going to have a massive backlog of court cases that need to be heard. So, you know, one idea would be to encourage parties to a lawsuit to consider alternative dispute resolution. Another thing that we could be doing is reducing guidelines on truck drivers, for example, where they have federal regulations that prohibit them from driving more than 11 hours in like a 14 I think it's a 14-hour stretch or, no, I'm sorry. Let's see here. Anyways, they have regulations on how much they can drive in like a week, for example. And so if we could reduce that, we can get, you know, more items into our grocery stores, medical supplies into our doctor's offices and hospitals. We could, another thing we can do is, you know, we'll be working on our online infrastructure, making sure that students have the technology and access to computers and online teaching. So I, just to wrap with that idea, I think that there are so many things that we could be implementing to really navigate and push through the COVID-19 guidelines. And then, you know, working with our county, working with OHA to make sure, personally, I would love to see antibody titer testing be made available. And I am a firm believer that individuals should be able to test at home. I am really not excited about the national tracking bill that just came out and then the idea of contact tracing. I feel that each individual should have the ability to test themselves at home, know their own immunity status, and know their own, you know, if they're sick or not. It drastically reduces exposure to frontline medical staff, but it also empowers the individual. And I believe that each individual has the right to make responsible decisions for themselves and their family.
And that's exactly, you've enforced that, or you've come alongside families on that issue when you're talking about the medical freedom and talking about a family's right to choose for their children's well-being, even immunizations that ties into this contact tracing. I sat on a Zoom meeting yesterday. It was put on by Republicans about reopening, and they had the key health officials on there. And when questions were posed to them, it was very insightful. These are the authorities making the decision, consulting with the governor on how we're going to reopen, how we're going to take the science, quote unquote, and make these decisions that affect multitudes of families and people across Oregon. And what they would say, oh, it's a work in progress. We're working on it. It's like they're just grabbing at things to see if this sticks, you know? And that part really is frustrating to me. And we are in uncharted waters. But we clearly have a constitution here in Oregon. We clearly have a constitution in the United States that gives us the liberties and the ability to stand on our own and make those decisions and choices. And I love your philosophy about the individual being responsible. We are adults. We are. Let's trust the people to do the right thing. And for those that can't seem to get it together and do the right thing, you know, then we have guidelines and boundaries. I love the fact that county commissions and what you'll be sitting on when you're elected, commissioner, get used to it. When you're elected, the county has an influence that is pretty broad because you've got urban, you've got rural, you've got different areas, you've got a diverse communities that you are making decisions for, and you're the human services part of it. Oftentimes, you're the sheriff department, right? You're overseeing and working with them. So you're impacting people's lives at a very intimate level in what's going on inside the home. And I love your philosophy about let's empower people, come alongside, and let them make good choices. How do you see that working for you as a commissioner?
Thank you so much. And actually, our sheriff is up for election at the moment, too. Mm. And I've endorsed a fantastic individual. His name is Roger Edwards. So I just want to, you know, give
throw
a little
that
shout
out there.
To Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah. Roger is a great guy. He's, served on the force 22 years, has a wealth of knowledge, has built incredible relationships all across the county. He's worked for OSP, and he's done amazing things. And so I think that those relationships are absolutely vital going forward. We've seen in our own state, as well as others, the power that the sheriff has. And in fact, the sheriff is the highest authority in the land. I think that it's going to be vital going forward that our county commissioners are working hand in hand with each agency within the county, working with the sheriff's department, and making sure that we're being responsible, but that we are absolutely honoring our Constitution. It's not an old or antiquated document, and in fact, in my opinion, it's the greatest human rights document that has ever been created. Mm. And we need to be upholding our oath of office and 100% ensuring that our Constitution is followed to the T. It is not our job as policymakers, not lawmakers, policymakers, it is not our job to be changing any part of the Constitution without the will of the voter.
Yes.
And it is not our job to be, you know, passing laws with emergency clauses on them and just bulldozing over the human rights and the individual. So I think it's going to be absolutely vital. We are in, you're right, we're in unprecedented times. We are in uncharted waters, and it has never been more more important to research every single candidate and make sure that we as voters are putting the very best people forward, because these people are literally going to be deciding the future of our lives. And
good point.
Our state.
Yes, and it is important to get that voter's guide and understand we have an opportunity to pick candidates that line up with our values. And I want to remind folks, if you're still undecided in Clackamas County, here's Brianna. She'll fight for you on the Clackamas County Commission. We're going to continue the conversation after this with news you can use. KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Follow us online at KSLM.news. Find us on Facebook. Like us there at KSLM Radio. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. 7:50 in the morning. Showers likely today. Temperature in the 60s. Sunny tomorrow. Partly cloudy, I guess. I like to see that sun poking through the clouds. How about you? I am loving the spring and all the beautiful flowers in the neighborhood. It is so good to be back in Oregon. Been back since January and went to high school here. So amazing to see the development and the growth in the communities. And it's so sad, and it's just been heartbreaking to me to have everything so closed down that I can't connect like I like to, because I'm extrovert. You know, I like to be out and about and meeting people. I call it treasure hunting, and certainly a treasure that I found because I've been on social media and connecting and getting that fix, in a sense, through groups and forums and how can we make Oregon a better place. That's where I met this beautiful person, Brianna Sagdahl. She is running for Clackamas County Commission, and her and I agreed on something we were talking about on Facebook, and found out that we have so much in common. First of all, the love of horses, the love of our country, the love of Oregon. We're both mamas and love our family dearly, and she is stepping up. She's stepping up to the plate saying, I'm going to sacrifice my time, talent, and treasure and run for county commission. It's not an easy thing to run for office. I've done it in the past. It takes a lot. And I can't imagine Brianna doing it during COVID-19, when every way that you would normally campaign has been shut down. Talk to me a little bit about what you've been doing to connect with the voters during this COVID-19 shutdown.
Thank you. Absolutely. It is not easy. And in particular, it favors the incumbent. So mm-hmm. we have an uphill battle already fighting an incumbent. And that individual has had the opportunity to be in office for the last, you know, 3-4 years, meet everybody in the county, meet every business owner, meet, you know, go to every single one of the groups and CPO meetings. And so I'm already struggling to find, you know, my niche and meet these individuals and establish a relationship. And so that's already an uphill battle. And then you add to that COVID, and now I'm not able to go knock on doors. Now I'm not able to put, you know, flyers on people's cars or doorknobs because nobody wants to touch it. Mm-hmm. And I have instead turned to social media. So you know, I had built a social media presence over the last few years by educating the public on policy and doing calls to action to the grassroots. When a bill would come out, I would use my social media platform to break down whatever the bill was and explain it to individuals and explain to them why it would affect them or how it would affect them, and ask people to please, you know, show up at the Capitol, come testify at this time or that time. And so I've been able to build this following. I've been able to build trust within my community. And so I've turned to that. I've been using that, Facebook mainly, doing town halls and, you know, doing what I can to get out. Yesterday was really fun. We had a sign wave, get out the votes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so Clackamas County is quite large. We have two different congressional districts. And so one individual running for CD3 is Joanna Harbor. And so she represents CD3. And so part of that is the Boring Estacada area right off 224. So she and I, in a very large group of individuals, ended up meeting and waving signs. And Daniel Tews, who is running for, I think it's HD, I want to say 40 in Oregon City, came and supported us and came and held our signs. And we had such a fantastic time. You know, it's wonderful being able to get out and network. And then also, I've just encouraged people to please call me, send me a text message, ask me where I stand, ask me, you know, what my background is in a particular issue. The difference between myself and other candidates is that I have a wide range of knowledge on the issues. I'm not a single issue candidate. I have been, you know, working towards policy changes on bills from, you know, protecting homeschooling, protecting medical freedom, to protecting private land ownership and making sure that private property owners can, you know, expand or build or do, you get the idea.
Right.
And so I have, you know, extensive knowledge on many different pieces of policy that have both come out and, you know, the rules and regulations and what we can do to make things better. And I'm not, you know, making promises about what I'm going to do when I get into office. I'm not saying, you know, hey, vote for me and then we're going to find out who I am and what I stand for and, you know, and really what I have up here in my brain. I'm saying, hey, look at my track record. I'm a multidimensional, multifaceted candidate with a broad knowledge base on the issues. And I want to work across all agencies, across, you know, party lines, and I want to come to the table with better solutions to help provide just the best possible quality of life for every person that lives in Clackamas County.
I think that's a great point right there, because the position on the Clackamas County Commission, it is, the commissioners are, you know, you're lined up with one party or the other, and but you are representing, if elected, you are representing everybody, every citizen in the community, and you may not line up on all the issues politically, but you agree on the fact that your community needs to be enhanced and issues in it need to be addressed. And how, when someone comes to you, maybe in a little of assertive, aggressive way, and you already know that they're not your fan, how do you address this? I actually had an opportunity to talk to one of our commissioners here at Marion County candidates, and I asked her the same question. How do you handle that? And you already know they're not with you, and they're coming at you pretty hard or maybe critical. How do you handle somebody in that situation?
I ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So this might sound odd or silly, but you know when you're working with a young horse,
mm-hmm.
and if you react, they react,
right?
And it just fuels this fire and you get this crazy frenetic energy. I like to take a deep breath, and mm-hmm. the way that I train is I ride in that breath.
Yes.
So I don't move in that place of frantic, frenetic energy. I take a deep breath, and I only move forward in those moments of calm. And so the way that I have learned to diffuse situations with people who are angry, I ask a lot of questions, and I take a lot of notes, and I ask what I can do to address their particular issue and how I can be with them. And I have understood the reason why people get the most angry is because they feel unheard, unappreciated,
yes.
and unseen.
That is so true. Good point to end on today. Thank you so much, Brianna. Let us know how we can continue to help you moving forward. Your website is votesagdahl.com. Thank you for joining in today. My friends, it's a wonderful Thursday. Go out and enjoy it. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you're an overcomer. Get that ballot out, fill it out, put it in the drop box. And we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Have a blessed day.